This is the More Than Right podcast, and I'm your host, Steve Lopez. Let's go down memory lane, shall we?
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
President Bill Clinton, of course, lied, not only to the American people, but in a sworn deposition. After Clinton's Senate trial failed to convict him in 1999, Chief Republican Investigative Counsel David Shippers recalled in his book Sellout that GOP leaders were anything but enthusiastic about the whole process. In fact, Senate Republican Majority Leader Trent Lott was furious with his House colleagues from the outset. "You're going to dump this garbage on us," Lott told GOP House Judiciary Committee Chairman Henry Hyde. "You know, we've been discussing this with the Democrats, and everybody wants a fair hearing. But we don't want to spend weeks on this. We can't just shut down the Senate. We have important matters to address." And with that, Lott left negotiating the rules for Clinton's Senate trial to the House managers and several Democratic senators, including then-Senator Joe Biden. Biden dismissed the idea of allowing the questioning of witnesses. "Look," an angry Biden said, "we don't want tawdry sex on the floor of the Senate. We don't want you bringing Monica Lewinsky, having her sitting down in the well of the Senate, seducing the world." GOP Representative John Rogan of California shot back, "Our evidence is going to involve perjury and ongoing obstruction of justice, the real criminal activity." As mentioned earlier, Clinton was found not guilty of perjury and obstruction of justice by the Senate, with 9 Republicans voting alongside Democrats on at least one of the 2 charges. To avoid federal prosecution for perjury and obstruction of justice after leaving office, Clinton admitted publicly before the end of his term as president, "I tried to walk a fine line between acting lawfully and testifying falsely, but I now recognize that I did not fully accomplish this goal and that certain of my responses to questions about Ms. Lewinsky were false. I hope my actions today will bring closure and finality to these matters." President Clinton left office with his popularity intact and in good standing among Democrats, that is, until the Me Too movement and 2016 GOP presidential candidate Donald J. Trump brought Clinton's sexual misdeeds before the American people for reassessment. Hillary Clinton was contesting him for the White House at the time, and Hillary was known to have intimidated her husband's accusers with threatening phone calls and visits by her squad of private investigators. And that brings us to the second presidential debate between incumbent President Donald Trump and his challenger Joe Biden in October of 2020. That's when Trump brought up the corrupt business deals between the Biden family and Russian oligarchs, not to mention a certain Ukrainian energy company.
"Just out of curiosity, the mayor of Moscow's wife gave your son $3.5 million. What did he do to deserve it? What did he do with Burisma to deserve $183,000?
You've asked the question, let him answer.
None of that is true.
Oh, really?
Totally. But no, Mr. President, please.
Totally discredited. Totally discredited. And by the way,
well, wait, he didn't get $3.5 million, Joe?
Mr. Vice,
he got $3.5 million.
It is not true.
Oh, really,
Mr.
No.
President? It's an open discussion. Please,
now, it's a fact.
You have raised an issue. Let the
totally
Vice President answer.
Discredited.
Did Burisma pay him $183,000 a month with no experience in energy?
Mr. President,
my son did nothing wrong at Burisma.
I think he did.
Mr. President, let him answer.
He doesn't want to let me answer because he knows I have the truth. His position has been totally, thoroughly discredited.
By who? And the media.
By everybody. Well, by the media, by our allies, by the World Bank.
Biden's denial was, as was the case for Clinton, a lie. House Republicans have uncovered a treasure trove of evidence proving President Trump was correct. Hunter Biden, the president's son, and brother James Biden engaged in shady foreign business deals around the world. Business deals that traded off the name of the big guy, Joe Biden. And it's quite a sordid tale, from Hunter's cavorting with prostitutes while smoking crack cocaine to the formation of shell corporations to hide money transfers from Chinese, Ukrainian, and Russian entities to Biden family members, to the FBI and Justice Department's work to slow walk or kill investigations into the Biden clan's bribery schemes, tax evasions, and even an illegal handgun purchase by the family's singular drug-addicted dunce, Hunter. Hunter is proof that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Had his mind not been so muddled by heavy drug use, he might have retrieved his Macintosh laptop from that Wilmington, Delaware computer repair shop. Instead, he stiffed the shopkeeper, who kept the so-called laptop from hell, in lieu of payment. In doing so, the repairman discovered its hard drive contained incriminating text messages, recorded phone conversations, emails, and disturbing photos with videos. On September 12th, GOP House Speaker Kevin McCarthy announced the evidence uncovered thus far by House committees is sufficient to begin an impeachment inquiry.
Now, here's what we know so far. Through our investigations, we have found that President Biden did lie to the American people about his own knowledge of his family's foreign business dealings. Eyewitnesses have testified that the president joined on multiple phone calls and had multiple interactions. Dinners resulted in cars and millions of dollars into his son's and his son's business partners. We know that bank records show that nearly $20 million in payments were directed to the Biden family members and associates through various shell companies. The Treasury Department alone has more than 150 transactions involving the Biden family and other business associates that were flagged as suspicious activity by U.S. banks. Even a trusted FBI informant has alleged a bribe to the Biden family. Biden used his official office to coordinate with Hunter Biden's business partners about Hunter's role in Burisma, a Ukrainian energy company. Finally, despite these serious allegations, it appears that the president's family has been offered special treatment by Biden's own administration, treatment that not otherwise would have received if they were not related to the president. These are allegations of abuse of power, obstruction, and corruption, and they warrant further investigation by the House of Representatives. That's why today I am directing our House committee to open a formal impeachment inquiry into President Joe Biden. This logical next step will give our committees the full power to gather all the facts and answers for the American public. That's exactly what we want to know, the answers. I believe the president would want to answer these questions and allegations as well.
The following day, David Ignatius of the Washington Post wrote an op-ed that in essence begged President Biden not to seek a second term in 2024. He said he's, quote, come to feel over the summer that the basic goal he had set for himself when he ran for president in 2019 of stopping Donald Trump was at risk, and that this needed to be discussed, unquote. In other words, Biden's policies have led to rising gas prices, higher costs for basic consumer goods, and lower wages. And the crisis he spurred at our southern border threatens to overwhelm the social safety net in blue sanctuary cities across the nation. But notice what really concerns Ignatius, that Biden's popularity with Americans, now at a mere 38%, puts stopping Donald Trump in 2024 at risk. As the mouthpiece of the deep state, the Washington Post has, for all intents and purposes, given permission to its fellow travelers and legacy media to begin an earnest conversation about dumping President Biden before it's too late. But some in the press haven't received the memo. While at a press conference on the steps of the U.S. Capitol, one reporter suggested the House impeachment inquiry is nothing more than an act of political vengeance, insisting there is no evidence against the Bidens, to which GOP Representative Scott Perry of Pennsylvania replied,
This isn't about political revenge. We have the bank accounts. We can see, ma'am, you can see that the homes that the Bidens own can't be afforded on a congressional or Senate salary. You also understand that it's not normal for family members to receive millions of dollars from overseas interests. Those things aren't normal. That's not normal to have 20 shell companies. These things are not normal, and it alludes to not only just widespread corruption, but money laundering, if not influence peddling itself.
Perry then handed the microphone to Representative Dan Bishop of North Carolina, who continued to disabuse the reporter of her self-imposed ignorance.
There's ample predication at this point in time based on that very unusual set of circumstances, which is for no apparent payment for expertise or services rendered, Biden family members writ large received over $20 million.
That we know of.
It is very simple for someone just to insist there's an absence of evidence. But if you can look in the face of that and contend that, that's, you know, anyone has a right to their opinion. What they can't do is change the facts.
You see, it's not the facts or rudimentary deductive reasoning that keeps the media from seeing the obvious Biden family corruption. It's Trump derangement syndrome. Trump is despised by leaders in both political parties and the fake news media for threatening to upset the nation's comfortable political status quo at home and abroad. And that threat is embodied in the man who says his duty is to America first. Biden family corruption is former Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's corruption. It's Republican Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell's corruption. That is to say, the politician's ability to transfer political power into financial gain. The late Cuban socialist dictator Fidel Castro fumed when in 2006, Forbes magazine placed him on its annual list of the world's richest men, having estimated his wealth to hover at around $550 million, Castro angrily denounced Forbes for placing his fortune above that of England's Queen Elizabeth II. America's cut-rate Castro, Vermont Senator and Democratic Socialist Bernie Sanders, has a net worth of 3 million big ones and owns 3 homes. The average American, on the other hand, has a net worth of $748,800, according to the Federal Reserve, and a mere 5% of America's unwashed own more than 1 home. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts, and enriches absolutely. It seems those who claim to serve the people are light years removed from their constituents these days. Our political class have become aloof aristocrats from the court of French King Louis XVI and his queen, let them eat cake, Marie Antoinette. Trump's rise in American politics is a visceral reaction against America's ruling government elites, the media, and the virtue-signaling dunderheads in the entertainment field. The legal assaults against Trump are really aimed at the growing movement that now diminishes President Biden's standing in the polls while raising the second-term prospects of the orange man that is the source of nightmares among our nation's distant lords and ladies. What frightens the elites in Washington and the media concerning Joe Biden's pending impeachment inquiry is that the subpoena power of the House committee will reveal, in excruciating detail, the names of every foreign influence seeker, the identity of every Biden-owned shell company, the bank accounts through which the Bidens received millions of dollars in transfers, and more importantly, the inner workings of Hunter and Uncle Jimmy's money-making scheme to trade off Joe Biden's government position. The long-term effects of which may include a constitutional amendment for term limits and a ban on insider trading for members of Congress. Remember, old Joe has been a fixture in American politics for half a century. And the agencies that currently protect his criminal enterprise, the FBI and Justice Department, should also be subject to limits on tenure to prevent a permanent administrative state from thwarting the will of the people as they did during the Trump-Russia collusion election interference caper. Permanent government is a manipulative threat to our freedom and safety. Like with Clinton 24 years ago, a Senate trial conviction for Biden is highly unlikely, especially with friendly Republicans likely to reach across the aisle in a swampy show of bipartisan support. But thanks to a laptop once belonging to a crack-addicted whoremonger, we are about to get a front-row seat to how bipartisan sausage is made in the nation's capital. Let's go, Brandon. That concludes this edition of the More Than Right podcast. If you feel so inclined, please like and subscribe to the podcast. Until next time, this is Steve Lopez.